Thank you, Barbara, for the reading of the Gospel of Mark, which has so many powerful stories. We're going through the Gospel of Mark in this season of Lent, these 40 days. Some of you are following along each day, and if you read along each day, you'll finish the Gospel by Easter. And also, Sundays are off. There's no prescribed reading on Sundays, so you can catch up, or you can read ahead, whichever you want to do. And we continue to meet at 6 o'clock for those of you that would love to come and be a part of the Bible study, 6 o'clock through this time of Lent. I must confess to you that I was up late last night watching a basketball game. And I'm assuming some of the rest of you were up late watching the games that were on. And I'm so pleased Auburn won. You know, in basketball, Auburn has been good about the equal number of eclipses, rare eclipses. And so the last time they were in the Sweet 16, I was a young man. And probably the next time they're in the Sweet 16, I might be a very old man. So I've got to get it in while I can. But what a thrilling game for those of you. And I've been reminded during the fellowship time, Auburn's not the only team in the tournament. I know there's some FSU fans that are happy this morning as well, and many other teams. And it'd be interesting to see how this goes from 64 teams to 32 to 16 to 8 to 4 to 1. And I actually was going to open this sermon talking about basketball, knowing the tournament was going on. It just so happened that Auburn won last night, and a little more joy in the story. But basketball is interesting. Those that are good at basketball, they are always dribbling. They are always shooting free throws. And it's like hundreds of free throws every day just to stay sharp, knowing that there's going to come a time where they're going to be at the free throw line, where the game is on the line, or maybe even a championship is at stake with one free throw made or one free throw not made. And the little things in basketball done over time make for a very polished basketball player. But all of that practice, all of those free throws, is preparing for that moment when your very best is needed. And when the moment is daunting and challenging and maybe even stemmed with adversity, those are the very moments that some of the players that have practiced the hardest, they will emerge in such a time, because they are ready to apply that they've been preparing for a long time. Still, other basketball players, they will falter in such a moment. They're not quite as ready, or the moment will be too big for them, and they will not be ready. You know, it's a parallel that I see with Jesus and his disciples in this boat, in the midst of this storm. Because Jesus has been teaching them about discipleship. He's been teaching about a kingdom. You remember Jesus when he proclaimed in the Gospel of Mark, the time is near. Or rather, the time has come, the kingdom is near. Repent and believe the good news. And Jesus is living out this teaching of a new kingdom. He's living out this good news of the Lord. And his disciples are observing what he's doing. They're seeing him do amazing things like cast out demons, like rebuke evil. They're seeing him heal people. And so you would think if you were walking with Jesus and you were observing all these things, you would be ready for the storm. But that's not what happens here, is it? But Jesus is leading these disciples little by little, day by day, to respond when the storm comes. I think about some of you that have served our country, and some of you are still serving our country. and that your careers have been hours and years of preparation. In all likelihood, that preparation will come down with a few crucial moments where lives are on the line or safety is at stake. And will you in such a moment be ready to do that which you have been taught in your preparation to do? Careers are often defined by rising to the occasion when that moment of adversity comes, when that moment of challenge, when that moment of opportunity arises. And that's what's happening here in this story. The disciples have been, they have been discipled along the way. They've been observing Jesus. They've been wondering about Jesus. They have been awed by Jesus. But now they are in the midst of the storm. And what is Jesus doing? He's asleep. He's asleep on a cushion. It's a surprise, isn't it? How many of you are asleep during a violent storm? None. Maybe. Rhonda, you're going to mess up my sermon. The answer is supposed to be no. But how many of you really would sleep during a violent storm? But here is Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, power to cast out demons. What is he doing? He's sleeping. Why is he sleeping? Well, the disciples, they're not sleeping, are they? They are fearing for their lives. In fact, water's coming over the boat. They fear the boat sinking. They have left to get away from the crowds, and it has turned into a disaster. They might not make it through the night. They're going for the other side of the lake, but here they are in peril. Water lapping over the boat, winds beating upon the boat. Will they make it? So they go and they awaken Jesus. And they don't not only awaken Jesus, they raise a question as if, what are you doing? Why are you asleep? Don't you care that we are about to die? Some of us have probably had those moments in our life where we felt like we were in peril, and we even pray like that. Lord, what are you doing? Don't you care that I'm about to die? Don't you care that I am in this fix that I am in? And that's what the disciples do with Jesus. So Jesus awakens, and he does not respond to the disciples first. Notice he goes, and he stretches his hand out, and he rebukes the wind. He rebukes the wind. And immediately, the wind and the waves stop. Jesus is showing that he is not only a great teacher, a deliverer of evil, a caster out of demons, but he is now the Lord even of nature, the wind and the waves. And Jesus rebukes the wind. Now, this word rebuke is a fascinating word, isn't it? And it appears in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus rebukes evil. He rebukes the power of demons. And here he rebukes the storm. Now, the word rebuke is not a word I use very often. In fact, I can probably count on one hand the times I've used that word in a sentence. Now, I may have used it in my spiritual reflection more than that, but the times I've actually spoken the word rebuke have been a handful. For instance, I don't think anybody here has ever heard me say to you, I rebuke you. And I haven't heard you say that you rebuke me. Maybe you do, but it's not a word we use very often. It's kind of a harsh word. But it's a word Mark uses to get our attention. I looked up with a thesaurus what synonyms would go with rebuke. And I thought, well, maybe shed a little light on this word. But it's a powerful word, even if you use the synonyms. Words like lambast or lambast, shied, put in your place, call on the carpet. It's a strong word to rebuke. So Jesus here took swift action, strong action, and used his power to calm this violent storm. And the disciples and Jesus were saved from this peril. Jesus then moves into a series of teaching. And he asks this question, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? That's where Jesus started with the disciples. As if to say, you've been walking with me all of this time, and yet you are still afraid by a storm. You have great fear because of the storm. And Jesus is reminding the disciples of their fear. And I'm thinking about this whole nature of walking with Jesus but still being afraid, that Jesus is challenging this. Why do you so quickly move into fear as opposed to faith? You know, storms, and we've had plenty of them, haven't we? We've had the Hurricane Michael back last fall, still recovering, our neighbors to the east. We've had tornadoes in Alabama in recent weeks, still recovering. We've had flooding in Nebraska, still recovering. We've had not only the storms physically, but the storms of life, like murders in the mosque in New Zealand. We've had terrible incidents of terrorism and violence bringing storms of life to folks, terrible peril. It's been just a storm, one after another. Some would even say about our denominational general conference, it's a storm. There's so many things that challenge us, that create an atmosphere of what appears to be adversity. But here's a teaching of Mark that teaches us how to respond to adversity. Because it's easy not to have fear and worry when everything's going all right. But when it's not going all right, it's not so easy. And so Jesus is asking the disciples in such a moment, why are you afraid? And that's a good question for us today. If fears have gotten the best of us, if there is a storm of life, why are we afraid of that storm? I would imagine that if we took the time to go around the sanctuary today and say, what is your storm, if you could name it, we'd come up with 20 or 30 kinds of storms that make us fearful about the future, that make us fearful about even the present. So that's a great question Jesus asked the disciples, and we should ask ourselves as we seek to be a disciple of Christ, why are we afraid? Why do we let the storms and the storms of life move us into fear? Why in such moments do we choose to see the very worst that can happen instead of what God can do through his power? Why are you afraid? Why am I afraid? A second question Jesus asked the disciples is, where is your faith? As if these two questions are connected. Why are you afraid? And where is your faith? And they are connected, aren't they? Because we're either going to see the world through the eyes of fear or through the commitment to Christ to walk by faith. Fear or faith? Which is it? How do we see the world? When adversity comes, and it will come, when the storm comes, and it will come, are we the kind of person that moves immediately to fear, or do we move to faith? Can we trust Christ when it's not going the way we think it's supposed to be going? Can we trust Christ in the midst of the storm? Where is your faith? That is the question. Well, this is not the end of the story. Christ calms the sea, and he brings a great calm. But we need to think about, in our own discipleship journey, what does this mean to me the next time a storm comes? Or if there's a current storm in my life, what does this teaching mean for my current storm that I'm going through? And here's one application. Notice that in the midst of this storm, while the disciples are frantic, Jesus is asleep. I think there's a lesson in there, isn't there? That Jesus was tired from healing people, casting out demons. He actually was using this trip on the boat for rest. He was on a pillow. He was on a cushion. He was trying to get his rest. And his disciples were all stirred up. But here is Jesus sleeping. I think one message we get here is if our Lord can sleep through a storm, we can too. We need to get our rest. We need to not let our storms get the best of us and keep us up at night. We need to be able to rebuke our storms and say, "You're not going to get the best of me. You're not going to cause me to lose sleep. I'm going to put more trust, and I'm going to walk by faith with Jesus through this storm. I don't expect the storm to go immediately away, but I expect him to be able to lead me from one side to the other." And one in our Bible study reflected on this, that it's a beautiful thing to think about this metaphor here. Jesus got in the boat with his disciples, and they made it through the storm, and they got to the other side. And it'll say that in Mark chapter 5, they arrived on the other side. So if you're in the midst of the storm, take heart. God's with you to get you to the other side of that storm. He's with you. But the best news of all is that no matter what's going on in our life, Jesus is in the stern. Jesus is in the stern. Now, I happen to live with a theologian. Her name is Karen. And she actually had this insight about this reading today. Why do you want to let the worries and fears get the best of you? Because what this teaches us is Jesus is always in the stern. He's always in the boat with us. He wants to be in the boat with us. And he is there to walk with us through the storm. Whatever we're going through today, Jesus is in the stern. Now this painting, and it may be hard to see the detail. You may want to see if you can look at another copy of this when you get home. But this is a famous painting by Rembrandt in the 17th century. And he depicts this story in Mark chapter 4 in this painting. He paints the disciples in this boat almost capsizing in the storm. And you can look around at the different disciples, and you can make your guesses as to where Peter is and where Thomas is and where John is. And you look at all these disciples, and they are in different roles. Some of the disciples are frantically trying to take charge of the boat. They're trying to do the things they can do to make it through a storm. Others, they look like they're in an outright panic, and they look like the worst is about to happen. Still, there are other disciples that are near Jesus, and they look like they are having more peace in the midst of this storm. But surprisingly, Rembrandt paints another person into the boat. It is Rembrandt himself. He puts himself into that boat, and he's just staring out at the storm, as if to ask the question of us by looking at this painting: where would we place ourselves in this boat? Would we be frantic and panicky? not trusting in our faith? Would we be trying to do everything we could to bring the boat under control, or would we be at the feet of Jesus in the midst of the storm? The good news is Jesus is in the stern, and he's there for us through the storm to get us from the one side to the other side, if not around the storm, through the storm. And finally, Jesus brings a great calm in our life. The first time I read the Gospel of Mark many years ago, this was a life changer for me when I read these words. Not only did Jesus calm the storm, he brought a great calm. And for some of us here today, that's the greatest message of this, of Mark today, is we've had a storm in our life brewing. It may have even gotten the best of us. We may even be at the point of panic, desperation. But there's good news. Jesus is in the stern. And if we turn to him in faith, not fear, but in faith, he will bring a great calm. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, that you have been the one who has cast out demons. You have brought healing. And you have even calmed the storms. We hear that word today, the physical storms and the storms of life. May all here, as we prepare to come to your table, experience this peace, this calm, in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.